concetto che magari ti sta fatto. Forse sta, diciamo, lì. So long the Bible numbers. So I numbered my whole Bible, number 66. And I'm going to make numbers. So our Bible is the 35th book in the Bible. And we're going to be coming from the second chapter, 1 through 3. And when you have it, ask that you stand in front of you. So we're going to honor the Lord today. Everyone is rest upon their feet. Habakkuk 2:1-3, and the word reads as thus: I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I will answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak in my mouth. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And if what I leave with you today is, stop looking at what you see and see what God is saying.
Amen.
Father, I ask you to have your way. Bless this word. Bless every heart. You said, let those who have an ear to hear only hear. Open up our ears today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is a new year. I believe that it is the year of 2020. But if you are a believer like me, you will feel like it's more than just you. It's a season. A season that only comes by way of God. And once you realize that it's a season, you must also understand that the season doesn't outlast the year. The year outlasts the season. Because in Ecclesiastes 3:1 it says, to everything there is a season. And in time, to every purpose under heaven. And today we are under heaven, and open heaven. In the season where God desires to bless us. It's according to the seed that you have sown. It's according to what you have put in that you will be blessed. And it's only in the blessing that he will bestow upon you, that will equip you to outlast the year or the decade. As I was studying one night, and I was learning, because I keep it going in my mind, just want to get it in me. And the Lord brought back three different incidents in my life. He had me to remember. One in grammar school, one in high school, and one in my real life. And I said, Lord, why would you want me to remember grammar school and high school? You was there, like, nothing bad happened. And I said, but you was there. What happened? He said, because you don't believe in yourself. And he said, you have taken that all the way from your childhood, all the way into your adult life. And I'm saying, you know, you also come to school. Maybe Matthew can talk to somebody else. And he said, and now it is interfering with what I would have been. And I said, okay, if I could just be honest. I doubt myself. I question myself. I have a habit of saying I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, but I'm in the box. That means at least I hit it. And he said, all of that is getting in the way. And he said, it's time to get to the hole. It's time to go deep and remove it. Because we have to understand that what got us here to this moment, to this time, to this season, it's not going to take us through. Every level there's a demon, but you can't beat them with attempts. So I said, Lord, help me to get to the mold of it so that it can be up and down. because I don't want to get in your way. And we learn how to cover up, put band-aids on certain areas of our lives. And as long as nobody else sees it, we don't believe it's us. Because we have suppressed it for so long. But then he gave me John 14 and 12 and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believe on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than those shall he do, because I go to my Father." We quote, "Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world." But do you really believe that greater is in you? Do you really believe that greater works are in you? God has the ability and the power right now to give all of us vision. But if he wants to give all of us vision right now, are we mentally prepared to follow that vision? In this season, are you willing to be like Abraham? And how he told Abraham, "Go to the place that I will show you." And he said, "Leave your mother and father's house. And if your wife and the mother go, you still have to go." And he went, no questions asked. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to leave people behind? Are you willing to leave the family behind to do what the Lord is asking you to do? So I said, "Lord, this is the year 2020. You're telling me about me. But, I'm talking, I want to be able to help me with the word and find the word." He said, "You can't have a year 2020 of vision without first seeing your substance." This is the season where God desires to bless his children. This is the season where he wants to bring you closer to him. But you gotta lay aside every weight. You gotta be honest with the man who already knows your honesty. There's no need to lie for the man who can see right through them. But we think sometimes, well, Lord is still there. He wasn't always there. No, you wasn't always there. He was. So in this season, we have to be honest with him. Vision acuity of 2020 is considered perfect vision. Because no aids are necessary to help you see. Vision acuity is measured by your ability to identify letters and numbers on a standardized eye chart from a specific viewing distance. The standard viewing distance is 20 feet. By seeing at this feet, at the feet, at 20 feet, it means that you can read letters and signs that most people can only read at 10 to 15 feet away. In some countries, they only use 6 meters as a standard viewing distance. And no matter the distance, this test is given all over the world to test the sharpness of your eyes. There are 3 major physical neurological factors that determine visual acuity. The first is how accurately the cornea and lens of the eyes focus light into the retina. 2, the sensitivity of the nerves and the retina and vision center in the brain. 3, the ability of the brain to interpret information received from the eyes. Matthew 6, 22 and 23 says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if that darkness, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkened, how great is that darkness?" And I said, "Lord, your eye being single," he said, "Yeah, because you have 2 eyes. But you only see 1 picture. The left eye don't see what the left eye sees. The right eye don't see what the right eye sees. You see 1 picture. And we have God on this side, and we have the devil on this side. the only way your life could be ended, you gotta be totally facing him. And it's not until you totally face the devil, have your back to God, is when your body is full of darkness. But he said, even when you are facing him, and therefore, if that means to be tempted. If you gotta go tit for tat, Lord, how bad did Lord and he said when he got saved, I just gotta go say my peace. If you have to allow temptation, because temptation comes with a fall. Okay? And we go to the devil, we allow him to use. He said, how great is the darkness in you? Is it worth your past? Is it worth your future? Is it worth your destiny? Is that darkness, is you going tit for tat worth your life? Because the wages of sin is death. There's no way around it. Is it worth him? Is it worth your walk with Christ? He's asking, how great is that way? Is that darkness to you? Forgiveness says to cease to feel the stress against a defender. Cease to feel. That means you have to stop. You gotta let it go. That's what getting to the root of it in this season means. You have to let it go. If you gotta cry one more time, cry. But you have to let it go, because it's the area that the devil will keep using. And God wants to move away from you. He wants to bless you in that area, but we are limited to him. We have to take the shackles off. Proverbs 4:25 said, let thy eye be look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. We should be focused on God in this season, not paying attention to the left or to the right. Don't even look at your peripheral. Stay focused on him, so that you won't miss a blessing. Because the worst thing, you know, we have a habit saying, oh Lord, I'm this age, I didn't make it this far, I wanted to do this in my life, but miss God. If you want to know the worst feeling in the world, miss God. Seasons don't come by often. Not season of blessing. Season of lack come by. Season of pain, season of death. But you got an opportunity that God can use you and bless you. You got culture. They say when opportunity comes knocking, open the door. We are right now in the presence of God at an opportunity to be lifted and raised higher than we ever imagined. This season is not, I don't know how long it's going to last, but tomorrow's not promised. So I got to take hold of that thing today. Vision is the bridge between our present and our future. And that's why the devil keeps attacking us with our past, because he wants you to believe that you're nothing better than your past. You're nothing better than yesterday. He don't want you to look to your right to see the look of the hills will come with your help. No. He don't even want you to believe that you even got help. He wants to keep you down, because God is deep. The devil busy, but God is busy now. Because every time you sat there and you cried and you thought you was alone, no, he was on his job. He was on his job. He don't come down for nobody. He don't get up for nobody. We have to stand in this season upon our watch. Even in the midst of all the death and all the pain that we are experiencing, what are you saying to me? What is it that I'm supposed to be hearing from you? What is it that you want me to see? This is not going on for no reason. It's going on as a reality to you that you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Sometimes we act, because we are disciples of God, we are followers of God. Sometimes we act like we're broken disciples, like the man in the Bible. Oh, well, he couldn't heal my son, so I'm going to go talk to God. And then we go to God, oh, why couldn't I do that? Because you need faith. Finish your faith. He said, greater works will we do. Do you believe that you have greater in you? And not just that he's in you, that he's going to work in you. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. We should not be even should not even be moving without a plan. P.K. Bernard says, a man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always return to his past. And we all remember the story in the Bible about Lot and his wife, and how Abraham prayed for his family to be set free because the Lord was coming to the front of the side of Gomorrah. And got out, and Lot's wife looks back. Pull off slow. So I said, well, why did you come over? He said, because I looked at her. She didn't look back on Sodom and Gomorrah to remember where I brought her from. She looked back with her whole heart as if she still wanted to be. So if you still want to be in your sin, die with you. How bad do you want to still be in your past that you can't even be thankful that he's moving forward? A lot is going on even in churches. But God is separating the people from you. Because people will stand before you, sit right beside you, and wear a costume to make you believe that there is something that you're not. All the while, God knows who they really are. And since I gave you time to get right, and you took your time, thinking you had time, I'm going to turn you over to sin. Because that's what he does. He said, no, I can't. This is why it is a lot that's going on. And he said, I'll do it. I'll use a donkey to get my job done. God said, Lord, I'm still here. In my right mind, got roof in my mind. Why should you have to use a donkey when you got good flesh right up? A donkey is secondary. We are first line generation of things on the earth. We got to stand on what we believe and not allow anyone to tell us difference. In this season, we need to know the difference between sight and vision. And for me, at the same time, we have always all been the same thing as we've seen. But it wasn't. Sight is just the act of seeing. Vision, something that you imagine, a picture that you see in your mind, something that you dream. In December, I was watching TV news, it was at a seminar, and his message was, don't be afraid of the dark. Because the only way for you to get vision, you gotta go down. The only way for you to see what God wants you to see, you gotta close your eyes. You have to bring your minds into submission. You have to be quiet. Sometimes we have people who like to just go, and say, well, that's not it. You don't get nothing in here. Sit in the season and hear what he's saying. That's what it means to stand upon my watch. That means you have to make time for him. You have to want to be in his presence. Because he knows if you really want to be there or not. But you have to come to a place where you invite him in. And you steady your mind to hear what God says the Lord in this season. We did not make it out of 2019 just to make it out. We made it out with a fire placed under our feet. Now we don't know what all that he's asking for us to do. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. We're not going to do that, but I don't know. But if you want to know, get in his presence. Close your eyes. Bring your mind under submission under the will of the Father. And you don't know how, because you're staying on your knees. If your mind is like the girl that release your hands off of you so that he can get to you. Research shows that it is possible to have sharper vision in 2020. But when I read that, I couldn't believe that because now that moment lasted all my life. Now, we're getting a break. Bathsheba. And he was a broken man. And the friends that he ended up with proceeded while they were traveling. And now he ended up with some friends that he wasn't supposed to be with. And it's one thing about a blind person. A blind person will really calculate their steps. Because they have to remember how many steps it took to get here so that they can get back there. And one day, this blind man was traveling, but he took the arm of flesh. And when you take the arm of flesh, flesh can lead you anywhere. And in a season, we have to get away from people. People who is just taking us for a circus, or a little roller coaster ride. Because words changes the way you think. When the serpent was in the garden with Eve, he didn't touch her. He didn't do nothing to her. But truth goes through his words. People are tricking you through words. My job, when I was the director of this training, and I said, well, I'm not going to this training. Because it goes against what I believe. There's nothing that they can tell me, because God has protected me. So there's nothing that you can tell me that the Lord has not allowed to do. We have to stand on what we know and not allow people to determine what we know. We submit to the Lord, and the Lord needs to be submitted to this. We need to be submitted to God. Sight changes belief. This is why he said, be not envious of against evil men, neither desire to be wicked. This is why you see us doing so much better than you. I'm going to come next Sunday with you. Because you're looking for something. Instead of looking to God for what you need. The society will have us running on a hamster wheel. Chasing dreams. Chasing position. Chasing authority, leadership, all this stuff. When God has already equipped us with success. He had already written it. And can't no man change that about you. What God has for you, it is for you. But you have to believe that you can get it done. I spoke in the process. He said, if you take one step, he'll take a step. He'll meet you. So the Lord took the man here and he led him out of the town. Spit on the man's eyes and laid hands on his eyes. He said, what do you see? The man looked up. He said, I've seen men walking as trees. And I said, then he gave me Psalm 138. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also like not shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalm 144 and 12 says that our sons may also be as fruit growing up in the youth. I said, well, what is it between you and trees? Did you say you are the vine and you are the branches? What is it between trees? He said, picture this. Picture a tree. Now picture a car traveling at 80 miles per hour. Boom. Car hit the tree. He said, what is destroyed in that accident? I said, the car. He said, that's it. We can do our trees. We can be them. We can be shaken. But then I said, Lord, the tree is standing. The little pieces of it falls off. He said in John 15 and 2, he cuts off every piece, every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. We are trees. And God has put in us for us to be strong. Strong. Have authority. said, this is Matthew 13:31-32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took, we took it already, and sown in his field, which indeed he is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greater among herbs, and become a tree. We are the He formed us from it. And when He formed us, He gave unto us the same like a seed. A mustard seed. A mustard seed, I was going to bring my mustard seed from my house that the pastor had given me, but I forgot. And a mustard seed is a little seed, the very seed if I had it, you wouldn't be able to see it anyway. And he said, I never had any attention on the mustard seed staying a seed. Because if it stays a seed, it is the least of the herbs. You have to get it in you. You have to water it. You have to read your Bible. You have to worship. You have to just praise Him even when you didn't want to. Because in all that, it's growing. The seed was never to stay a seed. It was supposed to grow you. It was supposed to mold you. It was supposed to shape you. It was supposed to take you higher in Him. And we still holding on with that man telling, oh my God, that's the mustard seed. No. It's time to learn. Job 14:9 says, yet though the scent of water, that means if I could just smell water, something should be rising up in me. Something should be bringing forth fruit out of me because I'm a tree. I'm a tree, and every time the devil comes to distract me or hit me, I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to break because I'm made strong. I'm made strong in Him. Whatever falls off me, oh, they're going to hit me again. Let go of that fear. I don't need that. Let go of that weight. I don't need that. Whatever it is, but you bear fruit. And the only way for you to bear fruit in this season, you got to let go of some branches that's been behind. As the season changes, the trees change. The tree, you ain't got to tell the tree what to do. The tree know what to do already. That means every day, when you wake up, you know what you got to do. We are here on assignment. And as trees, we should know our assignment. We got to get rooted. Our roots are not deep like they should be. And no, it's nobody's fault but your own. Because the church doors are open. Your heart should always be open. And your eyes should always be fixed on God. But we are choosing to get lost in a society that doesn't really care about you. Don't care about where you're placed. Don't care about where you live. Because we understand that yes, the trees live outside, but even if we gotta live outside, God is still covering you. You are still covered under His blood. He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. People turning back on you, He never left you. We have to understand that we are more than conquerors. We are more than what people say about us. We are more than what we say about ourselves. If we can be honest, because we tear ourselves in. But we have to get into the habit of, like Sister Greta said today, pick positivity in the atmosphere. Speak it over yourself. Believe it. Walk in it. Decree and declare that this is a good day. I am beautifully and wonderfully made. I am a leader. Believe it. Be your biggest cheerleader. I'm my biggest cheerleader. I tell myself that all the time. I don't need nobody telling me nothing. I do for myself. What we're looking for, men can't do that. Men don't even know what God has placed in you to even touch. They don't know how to help you. They know it's something different about you, but they can't get their hands on you. And even if they were sitting in the sanctuary, they'll be discriminated from place to know. It's God, because He's the one that's going to get the glory out of your life.
Right.
Jesus. When Jesus laid His hands on a man out of the room, He said, "You see that man clearly." And I said, "Lord, why did they touch me twice?" You see, the first time He touched him, He spit on him. He took DNA from him and put it on the man. And I said, "Lord, you didn't use the DNA again." He said, "I didn't need to. Unless the DNA is already applied, it's now up to you to adjust to it. And if you don't adjust to the DNA, it will never work for you." So the man had to adjust what he was seeing at the beginning, because what he was seeing was a finished work. And the only way you can see a finished work is if you put the work in. This will never be just given to you. Whatever it is that you want, whatever you need, He will never just give it to you. He said, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. It's going to be some suffering. But now that we're on the season, somebody's suffering is beautiful. It's only until you suffer, you go reign. And when you are open to a season of an open heaven, it's raining season. He's pouring down blessings. He set His hand upon some people. He is separating some people. He's calling some people out of the darkness and into the light. This is a season where your relationship could be so airtight with Him that nothing can break you. Nothing should be able to come and pull you away from God, because that's what He wants. Psalms 144 and 12 says that I was stoned. I'm sorry. Then it says, 43 and 8, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. The sick, bring it to me. You need a healing, bring it to me. You channel like another soul, bring it to me. He said, come unto me. What you need, I already got it. He's given it to us. He said, the leaves of your branch is going to be vital. The leaves of your branch is going to be like medicine. Medicine. But we don't believe that we have healing power. We don't believe that we can heal. Now, He don't force you to not believe. He just, bring it to me. You need vision? Bring it to me. But you got to have an open heart to God. That's why He said, do what you hear my voice crying out your heart. This is a time where you don't need to get all puffed up or strong. Oh, I ain't there yet. No. This ain't the time for that. This is the time where you just say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Use me how you see fit, Lord. Use me, Jesus. We should be willing. Because opportunities are not like this. God does not waste His words. What He say He's going to do, He's going to do. He's going to plant you. He's going to give you strength. He's going to water you. He's going to give you everything you need. Because He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That means that when you come into contact with people, they should be, they should know. Just being in your presence should save some. To strengthen someone. To give people more strength to go on, Lord Jesus. If they have questions, help me to be the answer. Help me to be an answer. We gotta know that whatever's been spoken over us is coming to pass. He brought us this far to lead us now. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but His word will stand forever. His word is life. His word is life. I said, Lord, even when I die, the maggots come eat on my flesh. They're not eating on my flesh. They're eating on the word, because the word is life. Even when I return back to the dust that you made me, I fill the dust up with word. That means I live even when I'm dead.
Because he said he goes from place to place. We got to get the word in us. Because the word is life. The word is light. There's no reason why you should believe that you're in darkness. I don't care if you ain't paying no PCG bill. You still got light in you. You are the light. Believe it.
Hallelujah.
Believe it.
Yes, hallelujah.
We need to stop worrying about what we see. And see what God is saying. And praise Him for it. Because even though we shall not yet appear what I shall be, I believe that it will be. You gotta know who you are, you gotta know who He is. And receive Him for that. And don't be trying to be His friend because, Lord, I need a favor. God, I need a blessing, I need a miracle. No. I thank you. This one is saying, Lord, this we do is all permission to. And remember this to me. That means don't just remember that I died. Remember that I lived. Remember that I healed the sick. Remember that I opened blind eyes. Remember that I fed the 5,000. Remember that I took a little and it became much when I placed it in the Father's hand. You was little until you was placed in His hands. Now you are sitting here. Oh, glory to God, kingdom children. We are kingdom living. Hallelujah. We are royalty. We are royalty. And we should not be living. Number 20 symbolizes a number of completion. And to be complete, to have completeness, is having all necessary parts, not lacking anything, not requiring any more work, entirely done. He said, see, the people are so confused. It's 2020, yes it is. But they're so excited that it's 2020. Because the number 20 means the end of the cycle. You can believe two cycles. You went from 2000 to 2009. You went from 2010 to 2019. You have already completed two cycles. So if you was going to be happy, you should have been happy when you completed the. Job waited 20 years to get his wives and his property. Solomon was building a house for him and God. Took 20 years. He did something. But again, he did two. He said, if you add the numbers up, 2020 becomes 40. The number 40 is mentioned 146 times in the Bible. But the number 40 symbolizes the period of testing. And you gotta understand that cycles and testing are two different things. A cycle is a series of events that are regularly repeated in the same form. Testing to measure, to check the quality of your performance, your reliability of someone or something, especially before putting it into widespread use or practice. And here's the scripture that went up. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who has called us into His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, He will make you perfect. After checking your quality, you become perfect. He will establish, due to your performance, I can trust you. I can establish you. And strengthen. Now you get strengthened because you know what you're reliable. You was reliable. Your strength checks out in me. And then He said, I will send you. Now I can use you. Now that you pass the test, I can pinch you out for the world to see. Because we got to remember that after Jesus was baptized, he was led up into the wilderness by angels to be tested. Testing is not for the bad child. Because he wants to know who you are. Can I trust you? Are you really going to speak the word? Are you really going to not get into self and get into flesh? Are you going to do what I already said for you to do? And once Jesus passed the test, the angels came and ministered to him, and he started his ministry. It's only through the testing, through the hard work, through all the pain, that we are being prepared for a greater work. God is not ungracious to forget your work in the labor of love. He is going to bless you because you serve faithfully. He is going to bless you because you stood on the word. He was going to bless you because you got out of self. Even when you was going through, you still relied and depended on him. So stop complaining about your past and complete the task that's in front of you. It's a greater work in front of us. The trial, the circumstance, the death, the pain, are always necessary to get us here. But now that we're here and you expect it to go further, you gotta raise some setback. This season means this is the end of a setback. Don't mean you bring it with you. That means you let it go. And you walk on empty, but fulfilled in Christ. Acts 12:20 and 24 says, however, I could sit in my life working. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task of the Lord Jesus has given me, that testing and testifying of the good news of Jesus Christ. My life needs to be complete. I miss God before, but when you miss God, you will fix your eyes. To know that I can't miss him, that Lord, my life means nothing. I want to do what you ask me to do. I don't want to just say, Lord, make me more like you. I want to be like you. I want to allow you to use me so that I won't worry about what I lose in this season, because I know I'm covered in your hand. I told my daughter was acting up in school, and I said, Lord, give all this back to you. You just need your obedient child. But then I said, Lord, I can't miss you. I want to finish. I want to make it to destiny. So I said, tell my daughter, I said, come back now. Because when you go down to that school, you choose you. You choose the effort of that because you choose you and you don't choose. But if you do it again, I'm going to choose you. You're going to come out. If I finish, I'm finishing for my family. If I finish, I'm not going to finish with them. Because once you become a finisher, it's going to be attached to the blood. So even though you fight me, I'm going to finish. We got to get selfish to the point that, son, I got to go on and see what the end. This is what you chose. But I'm choosing to live for God. I'm choosing that if he tells me I gotta go today, I gotta go. Because my life is not my own. I'm only what he made me to be. I'm only able to stand here because he has equipped me for it. But for the coming time, you're gonna have to make a choice. And that's why he's going to choose you this day who he's going to serve. Are you going to serve the darkness? Or are you going to be focused on God? Acts 18:9. And the Lord said to scripture, don't be afraid. But go on speaking and don't be silent. At that time, Paul got to be the minister and being a witness to God to the Jews. But the Jews wasn't going to see him. And the good Jews, he had bad Jews, he could go to sign and his son didn't want no problem. He didn't want that because he could come to Paul. So when Paul was getting a little hesitant about it, so the Lord came and spoke to him and said, Paul, this is what God told you. Don't you be afraid. You keep on doing what I told you to do. And that's what Paul did, because in the scripture it says, for the vision is yet for the point of time. But when it speaks, it won't lie. Listen to God. People will call us stupid and say, it's not worth it. You're doing too much. You don't take all of that. You ain't got to go every Sunday. You ain't got to go every Tuesday. I'm giving you everything. All that. And the Lord said, fail not to assemble yourself. So that means every day we put these words is open. My sisters and brothers in Christ is here. And you'll be with you. Because the body is not a body until I'm a part of it. We have to fail not to assemble ourselves and let this word not tell us what is not. What you're doing is too much. You're not doing enough. We're not going to get in just because somebody prayed for us. Because God wants to hear your voice too. That's why he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You have a part to play in this. Don't miss God in this season. Because you are afraid to go for him. Don't miss him because you feel like you're not going to. Don't miss him because you was almost there. And the word told you almost wasn't there. You should have got it when you got it. As long as the Lord continues to put you up and breathe his breath into your body, you get another chance. You get a new chance. Old things are passed away. All things become new in him. You get a new chance. A clean slate. You have to seize this moment. Is this moment? Was the design to bless. And I don't know about you, but I can't miss another season. I can't miss another season. It's the worst feeling in the world. I don't speak for myself. It's to miss God. Because of foolishness. Because of naysayers. Because of liars. Because I allowed them to destroy my vision. We are sitting under our open heaven. This is one time you can reach out and you can grab it. But if you need help, you ask him to help you. Keep your eyes fixed on God in this season. And whatever he reveals to you, to lay down within yourself, lay down with no hesitation. So that when he asks you to go, you are able to go. No weight, no burden on you. He wants to use you, but he wants all of you. We don't want that. God don't bless us in parts. We don't say, okay, you can try this out for 30 days and get it back. His blessing is never temporary. He blesses you. And if you want to make it through this season, this year, this decade, it's only you the blessing that's going to get you through. Don't focus on the past or where you've been. Children, I know you don't understand much, but you are worth more than what your teachers say. You're worth more sometimes than what your parents say. Because I know sometimes parenting, and it makes it frustrating to say some things. But you're worth more than that. And I know you see all of us that put time in. And sometimes you think you gotta wait till you get there. No. He can use you even as a child. As a child. And he wants to use you as a child. He said, first come on to me as a child. That's how we have to come. But you have to be willing to open your heart to him. You have to be willing to understand
and right. You have to understand that. And focus that nobody.